All right, today it's Momo in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. And Ramona, this story was a little disappointing. It comes out of Bleacher Report. It's about Becky Hammon, the assistant. Of course, there's never been a female head coach in NBA history. But Becky appears to be a pretty good candidate to become the first. She's been on the bench in San Antonio for several years. She made it to the finals of the interview process with the Portland Trailblazers. But according to a Bleacher Report story, and I'll just read this part of the story, Hammond impressed Portland officials, was generally liked among Blazers staffers, sources said. But when Portland reached out to intel from San Antonio, the background on Hammond was not nearly as complimentary pertaining to various aspects of day-to-day coaching responsibilities. That sentiment has been echoed by sources around the league. Blazers personnel then cast doubt that Hammond was the candidate to steer the ship through such delicate waters with Lillard. Ramona, if people call you and ask you for a reference on somebody, how do you handle it? Are you honest? Do you say, I'm not comfortable giving one if you don't like them? What do you do?
I'm pretty honest, but it depends on if I like the person or not. If I don't like the person, or if I don't, that rarely happens that I don't like somebody. Okay. But if I really don't think they're a good fit or whatever, I'll find a way to say it without being mean. Right. Like you find a way to kind of be like,
okay, you know what? A friend of mine was talking about this today. I was playing golf and a friend of mine used to be a casting director.
Okay.
And if somebody came in and read for a part and they bombed it, and they just weren't right for the part. The agent would call later that day and say, hey, what'd you think of my girl? What'd you think of my guy? And he would said, I think their best work is ahead of them, which I think is a great way to say,
yeah,
not now, but maybe 5 years from now. Here's what I do. First of all, if one of you guys called me and said, hey, I'm up for a job, can I put your name down as a reference? I will always tell you exactly what I would probably say. And so I've had people call me that I don't know very well.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And they say, hey, do you mind if I put you on my reference list? I say, I don't mind, but I got to let you know that I'm completely honest when being asked about stuff like this. And by the way, if it's somebody that you worked with at a current job, like if it was somebody that I worked with at ESPN LA and they said, hey, I'm up for a job, I can't even give them a reference. I can only refer them to Amanda. You're not allowed to say anything other than, yeah, that person worked here. Because then they could come back and, you know, sue you. They could say, well, somebody at ESPN told me this was a great candidate and this guy stole money from us, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, wow.
But if it's somebody in your past, if somebody you worked with at another job, like 10 years ago, you could say, I always say, well, look, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say that we never worked directly in the same room, but that I like you and I think that you're a good guy. If that's what you want me, if you think that'll help you get the job, go ahead and put me down. But I'm not going to make stuff up for you.
Right.
This appears to be that somebody threw her under the bus a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard with coaching because it's such a small world. So if you're in the coaching world and you recommend somebody and you actually don't believe in that recommendation, like that will come back on you, right? That comes back on. So what I don't think you should do is ever say really negative stuff that could hurt that person. I think if you don't want to recommend somebody, you just basically say in a very general way, you can just say like, I don't know them that well. I'm probably not the right person to call.
Right.
Right. You can just say
I feel like if somebody calls someone that someone has put on their resume or whatever for a reference and the person says, yeah, I'm probably not the right person to talk to about that, I would totally take that as the hiring manager. I would take that as a negative.
It's a negative, but you didn't give any specifics. You didn't give anybody, you didn't really give all that much. But I would probably, if somebody asks about, can I list you as a reference, you know, and I'm not really that comfortable with it. Like somebody did that to me. It was somebody I didn't know very well. It was like a marketing person or whatever. And can I list you as a reference? And I literally have worked with that person one time. And I said, right. Well, I'll just talk about the one event we did together. I would say, I don't know him that well, but we did one, you know, one event together, and it was da 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 da, like that. And I think that's all you can do is just say, here's what I'm going to say. Here's what we did together in this one thing. But I cannot lie and say, I know them so well, or blah, 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 blah. Right.
Right.
And I think it's, but in the coaching profession, I will say this, like, I think that it is a very small circle, especially when you're connected to certain family trees. So it's like, you know, there's one tree that's kind of like, the tree of all those guys who were in New York with the Knicks at the time, right? Like, Jeff Van Gundy's tree in a way. Okay. So there's Steve Clifford and there's, right. Tom Thibodeau. And, you know, a lot of those guys, they all kind of run in the same circles. There's like a Spurs family tree, and you see it all over the league where there's a lot of guys who work for the Spurs who are now in Utah or Oklahoma City or, you know, whatever it is. They're all kind of from the same family tree. Right. So, most of the time, there's also an Arizona family tree, by the way. They're like the people who went to Arizona. There's a lot of them in the NBA,
yeah,
too.
Steve Kerr, Luke Walton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Wildcats in the league. And so, like, most of the time, you don't really need to even call because people already know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. I just think that if somebody would have called me and said, hey, what do you think of Becky Hammond? We're thinking mm-hmm. about hiring her as a coach. And I didn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, you know what? I really didn't work. She handled one part of the staff. I handled the other.
Yeah.
And so I'm probably not the person to ask. I think you have done that. All right. Yeah. I got breaking
news
here.
But here's the thing. What would you say, like, if somebody asked you about me?
Oh, I'd say nothing.
Would you say?
If I like you, I'll make you sound like the Queen of England.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, what about me?
Ramona, you should put me on your references.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah. If I like you, that's something I really enjoy doing is trying to help my friends get jobs and move up.
Yeah, yeah.
So okay. If I like you, you're in great shape.
So you won't mention that. Mm-hmm. You won't do that.
Yeah, I probably won't.
Hey, wait, really quick. I know you have breaking news, but I want to ask you really quick. Since when I started working with you guys and you knew that I was Jeff Phelps' producer at one point, did you guys talk about me like, hey, how's this Lindsay girl? Does she do a good job?
Yep. Oh, called him that day.
What did he say? Did he say nice things?
Rave reviews.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Like,
he's a nice guy.
Like he was excited for you and he goes, I'm excited for both of you. It shall be great.
Good. Good to know.
Which is more than Amanda or Greg did, by the way. They just hired you and didn't tell Mason or I. They just, we got the girl. You guys shut up. She'll be there
Monday.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Wow.
Okay, so breaking news here. Ramona, you weren't with us, but we had a very interesting story a couple of weeks ago about a high school basketball game in San Diego County.
Okay.
It was played between Coronado High School and Orange Glen High School, which is in Escondido. Orange Glen is a largely Latino school. Coronado is kind of a ritzy school that's right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
Coronado won the game. It was the championship game for the 4A boys basketball title. After the game, Coronado players were captured on film throwing tortillas in the air.
What?
At the opposing team during the win. And it got national attention. They were,
great.
And Mason and I said, and the Coronado parents said, this is a celebration that they've been doing for years. It has nothing to do with the ethnic makeup, blah, blah, blah. Nobody bought that.
Yeah.
Mason and I both agreed that if it were up to us to teach these guys a lesson in the year 2021, where everything is so racially charged, that we would make Coronado forfeit the title. We thought it was that egregious.
Wow.
Definitely. Oh, and by the way, one of the kids, the guy who supplied the tortillas was a Coronado alum.
Mm-hmm.
He said he supplied the tortillas to be thrown, didn't mean any ill will, didn't consider it a racist act at the time. He described himself as half Mexican, said he was bringing a UC Santa Barbara celebration to its alma mater. Apparently, it's common to throw tortillas on the basketball court at UCSB after Gaucho victories.
Okay.
He wrote, I realize the tortilla throwing has been perceived as racially insensitive. I do not condone that type of behavior. Was not my intent. I apologize to anybody who was hurt by this. Hopefully, it can be a teaching moment for all of us to become more conscious.
Hmm.
So just now the ruling came down. They've been doing a full investigation. They threw the book at him.
Wow.
They have stripped them of the title. We thought, Mason and I thought it was extreme because the players, for the most part, weren't involved in it.
Okay.
It was fans. Some players did it, but this has now come full circle. In addition to forfeiting the title, the school has been placed on probation, cannot host any postseason basketball games through 22-23, and the head coach has been fired following the tortilla throwing. So they looked at it the way Mason and I did. They thought, if you want this to never happen again, you've got to make an example out of these Coronado people. The CIF decided that they would not put up with all of it, with any of it. Mm-hmm. Latino groups in the area condemned them. CIF said today, explaining the decision to strip Coronado of the title, it reiterates that discriminatory and racially insensitive behaviors toward an opponent contravene the principles of education-based athletics. Now, again, this was not, and but we'll take some phone calls on this if you think this was the right thing or if you think this was too much punishment, because I'm sure some people do. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Ramona, as soon as I heard this story, I thought, man, you've got to condemn it, and you've got to condemn it in no uncertain terms. But is it fair to the kids that actually won the title on the court that they've now lost it over a bunch of fans throwing tortillas?
I mean, have they in the investigation, what did they exactly find? Like, did they find
they
that it was
kid,
really...
That the guy who brought the bag of tortillas was handing them out to anybody who wanted to throw them. And some of the players on the end of the bench participated in the tortilla throwing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that people on the team were throwing tortillas at a high school that was largely Latino, I thought, man, did these people
not
get it? And I thought, you got to make an example out of them. And I argued that you should strip them of the title. So not only have they been stripped of the title, they've been put on probation for 2 years and the mm-hmm. coach has been fired. Is that overkill?
Interesting. I mean, it feels a little like it does feel like very stupid to me. It feels like really racially insensitive.
Like, would an apology from Coronado would that have sufficed here?
I mean, I'm kind of in that camp. Like, but it also is, did they have more evidence that it really was racially motivated or insensitive? Like, was there, like, I'm just trying to put myself in their own shoes. Like, were they aware? Is this like very obviously racially insensitive, or was it just like, you're just dumb and
all right,
didn't
predominantly
see it?
Latino school, you're throwing tortillas.
No, it's terrible. But like, do the kids
else
on the team know that?
What else could it be?
I don't know. I mean, like, is it like, did the kids on the team really put all that together? Do they play them every year and it's like something people say and know and do? Or is this like they just showed up and played one day? And is that something
they
do every other game?
They met in a championship game, so my guess is they don't likely meet yearly.
Do they do this after every game, or was this an isolated incident?
No, they had not in the past done it.
Okay, so yeah, that's not good.
All right, we'll let you guys react to this.
If they did it after every game, I mean, then I'd be like, okay, well, maybe that's their thing and it's kind of stupid. But
Lindsay, is the punishment too much?
I don't think it is, because even if there was some sort of quote-unquote logical explanation for it, it still is offensive to people. And it's, you know, in 2021, mm-hmm. I feel like you need to be more aware than that. And it's not a good look. It's not something you should be doing. And so even if they didn't necessarily have malicious intentions, I think that the punishment's appropriate because of that.
And what we're finding in 2021 is that if you don't think that there's racially motivated hate out there, mm-hmm. you're not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you ask any of your friends who are Asian or Black or Hispanic, if they get treated differently when they're around, you know, a bunch of people who aren't like them, you know, you can't mm-hmm. allow this type of behavior. But again, that's a pretty strict penalty. Strip the title, fire the coach, probation for 2 years. We'll let you mm-hmm. react next. 877-710-ESP.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The end. All right, Mason and Ireland show, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. So it's Momo and Ireland today. And we're covering this story about Coronado High School, a school in San Diego County that won the national or the state championship against Orange Glen High School, which is in Escondido. And when they won, Orange Glen, which is a predominantly Latino school, the Coronado fans and players started throwing tortillas on the court. Mason and I did this story about a month ago. They said, the CIF said they would commence a full investigation. The results of that investigation have come out today, and they threw the book at Coronado. Stripped them of the title, fired the coach, put him on probation for 2 years. Is that a fair punishment, or is it too much? Here's Chris in Long Beach. Hey, Chris, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Okay. So I agree with most of the punishment. Here's what I don't disagree with. Taking the title away, right? All the after effects of winning was racially motivated, I feel like. But you can't tell me that, like, the skill in the winning, that that's not deserving of a title. And tell me if this is a stretch or not. We're seeing the NCAA that's allowing, players to receive endorsements moving on in the future, which makes me think, like, well, does Bush and Linehart, do they get those titles back? Should those be reinstated?
Yeah,
now
I was going to
change on that.
It's a good question, Chris, and I was going to bring it up later in the show. I actually think you can make that argument. You can make the argument that people that have been stripped of, like Reggie Bush was stripped of the Heisman. Chris Webber is no longer recognized at Michigan. You know, the Fab Five was hit with audit. I actually think you can make that argument, but we will definitely get into it a little bit later in the show. Thank you for the phone call. Here's Nick in the Inland Empire. Hey, Nick, do you think the punishment fits the crime here for Coronado High?
I think it does, to be frankly honest. It does. It's what they have to do for so this doesn't happen again, because we live in 2021 with the racial, everything's racial now. But as a basketball player, I love basketball. Yeah, in a championship game, you want to throw a diss at the other team? Yeah, you can, but you got to know also what you're doing and make sure no one gets mad. You know, not too mad either.
Right. Thank you, Nick, for the phone call. Ramona, I think part of this, too, is the age of the participants. Think about it. High school is where you learn your life lessons.
Yeah.
And college is where you put them to use. If the CIF looked the other way at this and just said, we're going to let them apologize and move on, I don't think it deters the behavior. I think it now you know, if you're even thinking about pulling crap like this, you can bring down your whole school. You can bring down the whole program. Here's Stevie in Long Beach. Hey, Stevie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Yeah, okay, thanks, John and Ramona. Hey, the punishment is too much. Look, I went to UCSB, and I was a clown, okay? I threw the tortillas onto the field. It was a moment of joyous celebration, okay?
Okay.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm saying this. I'm saying that it was a joyous occasion. People were coming together in a moment of sport. But now, what is the definition of sport? Sport is about sportsmanship. It's about respect. It's about, good values. So they did violate the values, but don't take away the next season for these great young athletes.
Well, Stevie, let me jump in there. They didn't take away next season. They're going to have a team and they're going to play, but they can't host home playoff games next year.
Right. Okay. And you stated that. But the thing is, though, is that it's a life lesson, like you said. You know, sports is about sportsmanship. It's about values. It's about working together. So what is your comeback on that?
Well, I don't think they did any of those things. I think that they didn't work together. They worked apart. They threw tortillas at a team of predominantly Hispanic players. How does that support any of the ideals that you just mentioned?
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, so we're agreeing upon that. So, yeah. Okay, thank you for your for your comment. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Stevie. Ramona, I just think that they're high school kids. You can't you let them do this, and what message does that send to the next group of high school kids that want to try some crap like this?
Yeah, there are plenty less offensive ways that they could have celebrated the joyous moment.
Right, right. Like, I just don't, like, I want to make a different, like, a distinction between having a really stupid blind spot, right, and trying to do something that was actually very offensive. Like, I'm wondering if it's that Santa Barbara Gaucho, like, was it just this guy who, like, this is how he celebrated at UC Santa Barbara or whatever?
Yeah, he's a Coronado alum.
Just didn't see how this would look. And then everybody else just joined in with this and now they're paying the price for it. Or was this, like, they're really stupid and they were actually trying to insult people? Does that make sense? Was it, like, intentional versus unintentional sometimes matters and sometimes it doesn't?
Yeah, I'm not
but
sure
But on this
does
one,
here.
I think it... I think
the end result is so unacceptable that you have to be aggressive with the punishment. Here's Andrew in Orange County. Hey, Andrew, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, thanks for having me. So I just kind of have a different take. You know, I think this is an opportunity for us to, like, really explore, like, the deeper socioeconomic implications of what all this resulted to. You know, I think we've got to ask the question, like, why are these schools ethnically so similar, right? And if we look into it, it has to do with, you know, how housing and how, like, zones and school zones are set up, you know? And so, I mean, yes, I don't think it was the right move for them to celebrate in that way. But to a certain extent, I think the fix here, like, I worry that people think, like, oh, we're going to ban and strip the championship and, like, we're just going to call it a day. But no, I think there has to be a lot deeper exploration of, like, why these schools are structured in these ways in the first place.
Yeah, but I still don't think one excludes the other. I think you still have to make the... Thank you, Andrew, for the phone call. Ramona, I think you could... Of course, this is a teachable moment, and you could do it, but can you do it without punishment? I'm not so sure you can.
Yeah, it has to be real stuff.
I think
stuff.
You have to. And by the way, there were Hispanic city council people and state senators saying that you have to condemn this in the strongest possible form. There was a lot of pressure from Latino groups for them to do something like they did today. And if you're just turning in, Mason and I did the story about a month ago that basketball championship down in San Diego County, Coronado, a predominantly white school, beats Orange Glen, a predominantly Hispanic school. After the game and after they win, Coronado starts, some guy brought a bag of tortillas and they started throwing tortillas at the other team up in the air to celebrate their victory. And today, the CIF threw the book at Coronado, stripped him of the title, coaches fired on probation for the next 2 years. Here's Frankie in Los Angeles. Hey, Frankie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hello. It's an honor to finally talk to you guys. You guys are right. You guys are right on the head. The punishment, actually, it should be a little more severe. I'm very happy that you guys brought it up nationally because I played basketball in that area in an era in the 80s. And there are a number of people that came from Coronado in the surrounding areas to my college. It was a religious college. Let me tell you what happens if you don't stop this in high school. During a college game, a number of fans made a black effigy of a black basketball player, hung it by a noose, and dropped it over the rafters. No one stopped them. No one stopped them.
Wow. There was no punishment afterwards?
Nothing. Nothing. As a matter of fact, I called the players now, the head coach of Long Beach City College. I called him and said, look, that bothered me for 35 years. And he said he told his kids what happened. They didn't believe him until I called. Oh, the president of the college was kind enough to write an apology letter to the head coach of Long Beach City College. He said, you can talk to him tomorrow. We talked about it recently. And I remember people saying, oh, that's just no big deal. That's just what we do. It's not a big deal at all. Well, there's actually the hysterical significance of this. So you're right to put that nationally. You're right to make sure you hold them to the fire. Because in 2 years, I'll guarantee you, because that area is one of the richest areas in Southern California. You have retired generals, doctors, they all live over there. So those kids travel to Europe and these kind of things. They know what's going on.
Right. And I think that what this thank you, Frankie, for the phone call. I think, Ramona, what this does is it sets an example not just in San Diego, but what, I mean, we're talking about it in L.A. I guarantee you there are people talking about this in New York. I mean, it because this went viral, it sends a message that, hey, open your eyes. We're in a different time period. Discriminating against anybody because of their culture or their race isn't going to fly anymore. We've had too many eye-opening moments this year. It's a different time.
I'm reading this now. I'm reading this story in the San Diego Union Tribune.
Yeah.
Because I'm asking all the questions that you would want to ask. Like, was this an isolated thing? Like, what happened? It sounded like the guy brought the tortillas there, and it could have been the first guy, the UC Santa Barbara guy, okay, and this is how they celebrate. But it sounds like he may have brought them there in a way because that's how he celebrated. But then they got used in different ways. It wasn't like anybody was an unknown. Like, there was a really heated atmosphere at this game, and it sounds like they really did. They really were using them in a way to get back at the play. Like there was a hard fought game.
Right. They were basically saying Mexicans go home, and throwing these tortillas in the air and making fun of them. And
it contributes to the whole atmosphere there. Right. So I think when you first hear the story, you're kind of like, oh, did some guy just bring this? And then they were used in an inappropriate way or were people unwittingly using them? Like, oh, we're celebrating. No, this was a very charged atmosphere with people saying terrible things to each other in the stands, players and coaches saying terrible things to each other.
And you got to make sure it doesn't happen again.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next. And by the way, Lindsay coming up with Radio Tinder in about 20 minutes. Coming up next, Patrick Beverley did something at the end of the Clipper game last night, which I thought was so egregious that I think it's going to follow him into next year. We'll explain what it is coming up. Ramona Shelburne in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. And today it is Momo and Ireland. Ramona Shelburne is nice enough to fill in for Mace. Coming up, Radio Tinder in about 10 minutes. All right, so last night ended the Clipper game. The Clipper season ended. And the Suns blew them out in the fourth quarter. They ended up winning by, what was it, Momo, 28 points?
I lost track, to be honest. Yeah. It was over. Okay, it was I'm going to go over the Sparks game at this point.
At the end of the game, about 4 minutes left.
Yep.
There's a timeout. Chris Paul is walking back to the Suns bench, and he walks past Patrick Beverley. Replay, Beverley was a defensive irritant the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Beverley, it didn't look to me, Ramona, that Chris Paul said anything. It just seemed that Patrick Beverley was completely frustrated. And Chris Paul walked away, and with his back to him, Patrick Beverley shoved him as hard as he possibly could. And Chris Paul went flying to the floor. Immediately, the security people jumped in and prohibited anybody else from hitting anybody else. There's a new rule in the NBA that says security personnel are allowed to go on the court now if it's breaking up a dispute, if it's breaking up a
fight. That's good.
And so the Phoenix guys did a really good job of that. Here's my thought on what Patrick Beverley did. Absolute chicken bleep.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe he did that. I'm a Patrick Beverley fan.
I know.
I think he's a really good defender. I think he's that guy you want on your team rather than against you, because he irritates you so much if he's playing against you. I thought he had a great series. He had a great first. You were there. You had a great first half last night. Played one of his better games. I thought what he did, shoving Chris Paul as hard as he did at the end of the game, by the way, he was ejected. I think he's very lucky. If I was the last guy on the Phoenix bench, if I was like guy 12 or 13, I would have put him in a headlock. I would have made, I know I would have got suspended. I know it would have been bad for me, but you're not punking our best player and maybe hurting him when we're on our way to the NBA finals. You're not punking me like that. And the security officials broke it up. And here's my contention. I think the NBA has to suspend Patrick Beverley for the first two or three games next year.
Yes, sir.
Because if they don't, somebody on the Phoenix bench is going to take care of this.
Oh,
am I wrong?
No, not at all. I think he will be suspended. I would say
I couldn't believe he did it. I thought it was so... I mean, if I was a Clipper, I would be mad at him.
I'd be embarrassed.
It made the Clippers look petty. It made him look like an idiot. I couldn't believe it. Were you still there when he did that?
Oh, yeah. No, it was like I was there, and I'll tell you what happened right afterwards. Fights started breaking out in the stands. Like, there was literally a fight up in section 117, you know, kind of across right behind the Clipper bench, basically. And it was just a bunch of, you know, because this was the part of the game when it was becoming clear Phoenix was going to win. So the home crowd is getting upset. And I will say this, there was a lot of Suns fans there. Lots of people made the trip up.
Yeah.
Made the trip out. And there were a lot of Suns fans. There was a couple of people in my section, and we were in 114. And it was like, this one Suns fan started like gesturing to the crowd. Like, he put his arms up and he was like, kind of be like, how do you like us now? And I was like, okay, man, don't do that. You're going to start a fight. The Clipper fans are sad. Their season's over. You can be happy without taunting, right?
Right.
And it was like right at that moment when all the stuff in the stands were like, that was starting. And then, Patrick, you know, you could feel it on the court. Like, things were about to get out of control. And people were upset. You understand. You've been playing your whole season and you're sad. You're going to lose. Get it. Does not give you the right to just go and shove somebody from behind. And, like, you know, Chris Paul's, you know, he's a flopper. He was sold that other play there, the one with DeMarcus. I mean, he does that all the time, okay? That's what Chris Paul does. But so does Patrick Beverley. Like, literally, that's Patrick Beverley's game, too.
Yeah,
so it was sort of like the ultimate you can dish it out, but you can't take it moment. And, like, he just looked like an absolute jerk. You got to be suspended.
Well, let me tell you what.
Two to five games.
If this was hockey.
Yep.
Patrick Beverley would get his face beaten in for that crap.
Yep.
If this was baseball, he would get a ball in the ribs. And if this was football, guy number 45 on your roster is knocking his helmet off. And if basketball wants to keep that from happening, they have to throw the book at Beverley for this. They can't just say he was ejected. The Suns won the game. I was actually surprised by Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
Because Crowder's a tough guy. I thought Crowder would go for Beverly's neck. And Crowder said after the game, somebody said, none of you guys went after Patrick Beverley. Why not? And Crowder said, when he pushed Chris, we knew we had broken them.
Yeah.
We knew it was over.
They also
and
knew
Monty
they were
Williams,
gonna win. Yeah.
Monty Williams had a mic on. And to his credit, Monty Williams said, don't get into any of that other crap. We're only here to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Win the game. That's it. Don't get baited by them. Don't fall for any of their crap. We are here to win the game in their building and knock them out. So the Suns get credit for being more mature than I would have been. But you're not punking my best player like that. No way.
And John, remember what happened earlier in the series where Beverley headbutts Devin Booker in the nose.
Right.
Now, you could say that was unintentional. I don't know if it was or not. But Devin Booker has a broken nose. It's been bothering him the rest of the series, and it's going to bother him in the finals. I mean, he's got a little bit of time now, at least. But, you know, Beverley has a reputation for that, right? He had to go all the way back to the Russell Westbrook knee injury, you know, where he dives on a loose ball that he can't quite get. It reminded me a little of the LeBron James Solomon Hill thing. Like, you're diving for a ball that you can't really get, and in your path, like nobody blames you for diving for a loose ball. That's good hustle, whatever. But if you're diving and there's somebody in your path that is clearly ahead of you, and you're going to be hitting their lower legs, that is a very dangerous play. And when he did that to Russell Westbrook, he had obviously a, you know, knee surgery, that ended their season. He did that to LeBron James. His ankle was never the same. Solomon Hill did that, right? And he was never the same.
Right.
And those are the types of injuries guys in the league notice as like, that was unsafe, dangerous, and you hurt somebody.
Let me add this to the story. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, Patrick Beverly tweeted this at Chris Paul. He wrote, mm-hmm. at CP3, emotions got the best of me last night. My bad, wasn't meant for you. Congrats on making it to the finals. Best of luck. That's nice that Patrick Beverly did that. If I'm the NBA, you get a 3-game suspension to start next year.
Oh, yeah, he will be. The only question is how long.
I just thought that was one of the most Bush League things I've ever seen in the NBA playoffs. I've been covering the league for 25 years.
Yeah, and you know what was weird? When I saw it live.
The Lakers did it once in 2011 when they were about to be swept by Dallas. Andrew Bynum, I can't remember if it was
J.J. Barea,
through the lane, and he just gave him a forearm shiver. And I thought mm-hmm. it made Andrew look bad. It made the Lakers look bad. They threw Bynum out of the game. But it's just such, I mean, you can't beat him, so you're going to try and hurt him?
Yeah.
Really?
That's weak.
Come on.
I had somebody do that to me once when I was playing. It was like in high school, and we were winning the game, and somebody did like a really dangerous slide tackle from behind. And like, I was okay, but I was like, that's the closest I've ever come to wanting to get up and pop somebody.
Right.
Like, well, I got up, but I was, like, fighting mad. Like, I was about to swing, and then I was like, no,
I thought
do it.
The way that went down, Chris Paul walking away with his mm-hmm. back to you, it was just a sucker move.
Yeah, it was. A sucker punch. That's a good way to put it.
I think Patrick Rivers very lucky he didn't get punched in the face. And I think if the NBA doesn't do something about it, the Phoenix bench will at the start of next year.
Yeah,
so
but the
something
NBA
to
will.
Keep an
They'll
eye on.
They'll absolutely do something about it.
All right.
Go ahead. That's it.
Okay, coming up next, Radio Tinder. We'll get Lynn's in here. She's got a bunch of stuff she wants us to react to. At the top of the hour, now that the NCAA has allowed players to capitalize on their name and likeness, what do you do with guys like Reggie Bush and guys like we're in the Fab Five? Do you reinstate them? Do you welcome them back into the fold? We'll get into that at the top of the hour. Ramona Informace, I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, we do this every day at this time. Lindsay puts together a bunch of stuff, and we react to it. Linz, what do you got?
All right, well, I'm going to start with one of our favorite, I guess everybody's favorite, Twitter personalities, former NFL player, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. Ocho Cinco, who ignited a social media debate the other night when he offered his opinion on how much a man should pay when going out on their first date with a potential partner. The debacle began after Johnson responded to a Twitter user with the handle Saley, who asked their male followers how much money is too much money for the first date. Ocho Cinco then retweeted the post and suggested that men should be alarmed if they pay over $50. He wrote, anything over $50 is a red flag. He wrote that it shouldn't cost that much for a date and that he can personally find ways to, quote, stretch $50 for a week. Countless people had differing opinions on Ocho Cinco's advice, so I'll ask you guys, is $50 a good general limit to put on a cost for a first date? Swipe left or swipe right?
No, swipe left. The cost of the first date is whatever it costs.
Yeah.
If you make a big deal about spending more than $50, that's gonna the girl's gonna think you're cheap. Ramona, I think the first date costs what it costs, and you pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're in high school and you're gonna go out to like Chili's or something, okay. But if you're in
I'm going out. I'm going out on a first date with someone that Michael Thompson insisted on fixing me up with.
Yeah, it costs what it costs. Like, I mean, I always talk about per, I don't like to complain about this because it makes us look ridiculous, but we all get per diem, okay? Like when you're on the road. And there's per diem where like some people will, you know, take their per diem money and they'll just, you know, eat at the hotel, the free stuff at the hotel, and they'll just try to in the media room, whatever it is, and like, pocket all the per diem money, right? And then other people, it's like they'll just take it and they'll just spend what it costs. And usually if you go to a regular restaurant and you order yourself like one meal, that's probably your entire per diem money. Probably your entire per diem is $50. Drink, salad and a entree. Usually with the tip and tax and all that, it's close to $50. Like, you're going to go over your, so I don't know how you can really do two people on a date that one person maybe has a beer or a glass of wine. I think that's already at $50. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't know what $50 buys you these days, but it ain't buying you a date.
Especially in LA. I mean, I certainly wouldn't be opposed if somebody was like strapped for cash or whatever. Obviously, that's something I wouldn't want to discover or hear about much on the first day. I mean, I guess maybe, I don't know. I really, that's a whole different conversation. But anyway, if you want to take someone out to something that's less expensive, like go to the park or whatever and do a picnic or go get ice cream. Like, you don't go out to dinner and then like put a limit on it. Like, whether it's in your own mind or like saying it out loud.
Yeah, if you want her to go out with you, if you want her to go out with you again, you better not put a limit at $50. That's the quickest way to get kicked out of the club.
Well, that's right. That means she can eat, but you're not eating anything. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing here?
Not everyone has the luxury of Ocho Cinco having the pull that he does being a former NFL player. So we'll say that that's a little low. All right. So, speaking of the NFL, Steelers' Devin Bush does not want grown men who have TikTok on their phones to be around him, which I think could probably be an issue for him, you know, in the locker room this season. On Thursday afternoon, Bush tweeted out, quote, "If you a grown man and you got TikTok on your phone, stay TF from around me." Bush was instantly reminded by fans that Juju Smith-Schuster and several other players on his team are currently on TikTok. There's literally like a dozen of them.
Yeah.
It's worth noting that Smith-Schuster angered a lot of Steelers players and fans with his pregame TikToks last season, and it is possible that Bush is kind of like commenting on that. But wanted to ask you guys, if you're him in this situation, do you agree with Bush's take on TikTok? Swipe left or swipe right?
I think TikTok is stupid. I don't have it on my phone, but I wouldn't object to you guys having it on your phone. Like, I've never understood taking a position like this. I don't have to participate in TikTok. I don't have to watch it, but why am I upset if you're watching it? Why do I care? I have no issue with him, with another, Ramona, if you and I were hanging out and you were Mason is eventually going to make a big deal out of TikTok because he can make himself more famous.
I don't think he could keep up with it, by the way. But
but it doesn't bother me. I mean, I know that going in that Mason's like that. It's no skin off my nose if he wants to be big on TikTok. I'll never do it. But you know what I'm saying, Ramona? I don't understand why Devin Bush thinks it's a big deal if someone else does it. He doesn't have to do it.
So I'm going to tell you something, all right? I did some videos with Mace on TikTok. Initially, when it came out, I always am trying to, you know, Mason has influenced me in this way that says, okay, Ramona, you're getting older. You can't just be like, get off my lawn, girl. You have to really, you know, embrace the new technologies and the new things that kids these days are into, right? You just can't put your head in the sand and say like, back in my day, all we had was Twitter and Facebook. You can't do that. You have to evolve with the times. So I tried to do a TikTok thing. Mason and I made a couple of stupid videos. I don't even know what we were doing, you know, and I was like, this is a lot of work. Like, I always feel like social media is a lot of work. You have to tweet stuff. You have to Facebook it. You have to Instagram it. You have to TikTok it. And the people who do TikTok, like, that's like their whole focus is to make TikTok videos. And there's also people who every single day, I feel like I go with them on their stories, on their Instagram. So every day, you know, I see it. It's like four videos a day. And so when he
it's
says
all about
this,
the gram.
John. Yeah, I'm going to throw it on the gram. Okay, when he says that, I think that I understand where he's coming from if this is what he means, because it's all this focus you're putting into the damn TikTok. Like, that's focus you're not putting onto the field. It's focus you're not putting on. I like the LeBron James thing. Keep the main thing the main thing.
Right.
You know, like, you're about football. Like, you should be about winning. So if you're putting all this effort and time into doing social media, that's time you're not spent studying. It's time you're not spent. Now, I'm sure there are people who can do both. I'm sure that they have social media people that can do all those things. Or, you know, maybe I'm just busy because I have like a lot. I have work and I have a kid. I don't know. But I know where he's coming from with that. It just means that that their focus is maybe not on the right stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of like, you know, people insinuating Kyle Kuzma, for example. Like, I think it was Keyshawn who said, oh, all he seems to care about is dyeing his hair and going to parties and hanging out with famous people. And so I guess how you could see that from like a social media standpoint, because that's like a whole lifestyle in itself, is like the TikTok.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah. And I like Michael Thompson always says this, like, you know, we talk about the schedule and all the games that the players, you know, are, you know, the demands, the physical demands of the players. But then when we get down to it, it's kind of like, I see what Michael's saying. You got to rest. Like your downtime, if you're a player and you're grinding every single day and the schedule's condensed and on and on and on, you got to spend your rest time resting.
Yeah.
All right, Lindsay, what's next?
All right, so Clemson head coach Dabo Swinney has been one of the more vocal coaches regarding the NIL decision, which is the name, image, and likeness decision. But people haven't forgotten about what he said in the past. 2 years ago, Swinney told ESPN that if college players start getting paid, then maybe he'll just quit coaching in college and make the jump to the pros. He said, quote, "They may want to professionalize college athletics. Well, then, maybe I'll go to the pros. If I'm going to coach pro football, I might as well do that." Do you guys think that, here we are 2 years later, now in 2021, that Swinney would actually leave college to coach in the pros because of the new rule? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe right in this. I think Dabo has done everything he can do, and Nick Saban just signed a new contract. Dabo went to Alabama. So everybody has assumed he was going to be the next heir apparent to Saban. He's done everything he can do, Ramona, at Clemson. He's won national championships. He's in the Final Four every year. If some team gives him the Urban Meyer deal, an insane amount of money to go coach the NFL, I think he takes it. What do you think?
That's interesting. I think he will walk back those quotes as fast as possible, because part of the reason he's been so successful at Clemson is he's a great recruiter. Every single year he gets, you know, top five class. And that's a pretty unpopular position to take right now, because these are the new rules, right? So get with the program. I think he'll walk those back, but the sentiment is probably the same. He will publicly say, "Oh, well, I've changed my thinking on that now." But John's probably right. If he gets offered something, you know.
I feel like he has to walk it back, because if I'm a player and I'm going and he's recruiting me to go to his school, and I know that he doesn't want me, you know, on the TikTok or getting sponsored by Under Armour or whatever the heck it is, I feel like that would make me hesitant to think, "Oh, well, does this guy not want me to make money? Does he not? He cares more about football than he cares about me overall and my success as a human being." So, yeah, I get that. I see how that could definitely sway people.
All right, Lindsay, is that it? You got one more.
That is it for Radio Tinder today.
Okay, coming up, should Reggie Bush get his Heisman back now that players are allowed to get paid for their name, image, and likeness? And the Dodgers have a decision to make about Trevor Bauer. We'll get into all of that. Ramona in for Mace, 710 ESPN.